Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. We have just completed our series on the good life, which means at this point, we're all living the good life, right? We're all living this life of joy and satisfaction. We've looked at the Beatitudes of Jesus, these statements that Jesus makes about the blessed life, the happy life. And my prayer for you is that as we've explored these statements, these truths together, as we've looked at this path that Jesus is inviting us to walk down, that you would be taking it step by step, and that each step you take down that path would lead you deeper into the good life, into a life that fills you with more joy and more satisfaction every step you take. So wherever you happen to be on that spectrum right now, if you're experiencing a sliver of the good life, or maybe a larger sliver of the good life, keep going. Keep exploring. Keep discovering this life that Jesus is offering. Now this morning, I want to switch gears a little bit. We were looking at joy, the good life. Today, I want to explore the season of Lent, which I get it. For some of us, it feels like a complete 180 because Lent, we don't associate joy and happiness with Lent. Lent is a season that's a bit more somber. It's more reflective. For many of us, Lent can be something that's a bit of a downer because it explores topics that they can get a bit uncomfortable. Now, normally at Awaken, since we began Awaken, I've done a series on Lent. So for the 6 weeks, Lent is 40 days leading up to resurrection. So for the 6 Sundays before Resurrection Sunday, we have together as a community explored many of the different topics that Lent brings up and raises for us. This year, for no particular reason, I decided we're not going to do a Lent series. So today, you have one sermon on Lent. Now, that doesn't minimize the significance of Lent. In fact, I think Lent is a really, really important ritual. It's an important season on the church calendar. It's something that deserves to be entered into every single year. Just as you celebrate Christmas every year, I think Lent is also something that deserves our attention every single year. Now, what I have found really interesting over the past couple of weeks is I have had multiple conversations with people about Lent. This has never happened before. Maybe it's because I've done series on Lent before, and so I guess I've done a great job of answering all the questions about Lent. But this year, I have had many people ask me about Lent. What is it? What's the significance of it? Do I really have to participate in Lent? Is Lent only for this group of Christians, or is it for all of us? If I don't feel like doing Lent, does that mean that I have to still do Lent? Great questions. And today, what I want to do is I want to offer two observations about Lent, because I think oftentimes when we approach Lent, we approach it from a surface level. We approach it from the externals, the visible, that which is seen. Is Lent something I really have to do? Is it an obligation? Is it a requirement for me as a Christian or for me as a particular type of Christian? And if I do celebrate Lent, does that mean I have to give up meat or chocolate? Why do I have to give up meat for 40 days? Again, is it just something that I am obligated to do? Is it something that I'm required to do because I follow Jesus and this is what Jesus wants me to do for 40 days? Jesus wants me to go without sugar and candy bars. All of these are external questions. So for me, whenever I come across a spiritual discipline or a ritual like Lent, I mean, that's what Lent is. It's not a ritual that we can participate in and finish in 15 minutes, a half an hour. Rather, it's one that takes a considerable chunk of time, 40 days. So yes, there's a commitment there. But whenever I approach a spiritual discipline, a ritual, I always ask the deeper question. What is the spirit behind this ritual? Why am I performing these actions? Why am I doing these external things? So in the case of Lent, why am I going without? Why am I abstaining? I always want to know, what's the life that's hidden in this ritual? Because think about it, why were rituals first formed? They weren't done just in order to create duties for people to do, things for people to do just for the sake of doing them, but rather they were created because there was something life-giving about the ritual. There was something that when people did this, when people performed this action, there was some life that they were able to tap into. So when we approach Lent, let's look at it from this perspective. What is the spirit, the significance behind this season? So here's two observations for us about Lent. First, Lent is all about reminding ourselves of the frailty of life. Lent's a season when we remind ourselves we're fragile. We're small. We're finite. We're mortal. These can be uncomfortable truths. These can be truths that we spend a large amount of our time avoiding, denying, running away from, pretending like they're not true. So for many of us, when we spend a lot of our lives running from these truths, to actually embrace them for 40 days, that's really uncomfortable. So it can become a whole lot easier to just go without chocolate for 40 days because, well, it's a discipline, I'm gonna get through it, willpower, baby. But to actually ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Ooh, that can get a bit uncomfortable. That can bring up some feelings that we've been stuffing down. Yeah, think about whenever there's a public figure, maybe it's a celebrity, a sports star, movie star, whoever it happens to be, there's a public figure and they die. Especially when it's a tragic accident. I mean, think about Kobe Bryant last year. There is this public fascination with this person's death. They were so young. This shouldn't have happened. This is a tragedy. How could something like this have happened to them? What this does, the reason I think why we become really fascinated with moments like this is because it communicates to us, if this happened to them, this figure that's larger than life, this person that was supposedly beyond all of this, that was above all of this stuff, this dying stuff, well, that means that one day I will die as well. I mean, this happened just a couple of weeks ago, I think, with Tiger Woods also. He had this horrific car crash. He went through these extensive injuries, and it brings up all these feelings within us. Like, well, if that happened to Tiger Woods, that could happen to me as well. So we have a fascination with it because it reminds us, I'm fragile also. I'm finite as well. I could break. One day I am going to die. Now, all these truths, we can do two things with them. One, we can continue running from them. We can be afraid of those feelings and we can just deny them, do everything that we can to drown out those truths in our lives, or we can embrace them. This is going to happen. This is true about me, about my humanity. And we can embrace these facts, which then allows us to live now, to live in this moment, to experience joy right here and right now. So for some people, Lent is a bit of a downer. Oh, really? I don't want to bring up those feelings. I spent a lot of time getting away from them. Now to remind me of these things again, I just can't do it. But I think Lent, it's a season of freedom. Because there's a freedom, there's a lightness that comes when you're able to acknowledge your weakness. and this reliance that you have for a power or a strength beyond yourself. There's this great verse the Apostle Paul gives us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions." Brings us back to last week at the Good Life, does it not? "I delight in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." I delight in my weakness. Because you know what? When I acknowledge it, when I admit it, when I don't run from it, and I bring it all to the surface, I no longer have to hold it all together myself. I mean, there's a freedom in admitting, yeah, I have moments of weakness. I'm a fragile human being. There's times when I don't really have it all together. In a world where we are told to just throw duct tape on it all and keep on going, there's a freedom that comes when you rip that duct tape off, or you don't try to patch it back together again and just say, "This is who I am. Yeah, here's my moments of frailty. The moments when I see my limitedness. The moments when I've come face to face with my mortality." And you're able to take all those moments of weakness and find a deeper strength. A strength that comes only when you cry out. A power that comes, a power from God that comes when you throw it all out there and say, I just can't hold it all together on my own anymore. I need someone beyond myself in order to keep me going. That's what Lent does. We're able to take a pause from the strength that we show, whether it's to ourselves or to the world around us, and say, okay, for a season, it's okay to be weak. For these 40 days, it's okay to acknowledge I'm finite. And hopefully it doesn't just end at the end of this ritual, these 40 days, but it bleeds into the rest of your year. And so we need this reminder every single year, because we get caught up in our own strength, in what we on our own can produce. And so this season, it breaks us of that pattern, and it allows for the strength of Christ to come in and be known in our lives. Now, here's a second observation about Lent. Lent is all about making space. Remember, Lent is a season of going without. It's a season of abstaining. So the questions that I was asked about, well, go without chocolate, without meat. Yeah, because Lent is a time that you have said, I am not going to partake in this. Now, does it have to be food? No. It can be anything that you want. I know some people go without social media for 40 days. One season of Lent, I went without music every time that I was in the car. No noise in the car. So that meant music or podcasts. And I would just sit in silence. So for 40 days, wherever I had to go, I would just, the radio would be off, and I would just be listening. I carried a notebook with me on the front seat. Anything that came to mind, I would just start jotting it down. So Lent is all about making space within ourselves for a filling. Think about spring cleaning. It's getting to be that time right now when we go through our closets. We go through all the drawers in our house and we look to see, okay, what can I get rid of? What's been sitting in the back of that closet and I don't need it any longer? It's just taking up space. It's weighing me down. It's just junk that's collecting there in the back. And if I were to do away with it, I mean, think about whenever you have a spring cleaning and you see the bags of garbage that you are either throwing out or donating to someone else, it's like you can breathe again. You can walk a little bit lighter. Lent is like spring cleaning. You're going through the closet, you're sorting through the closet, you're looking for all the expired bottles that are in the back. You're looking for all the clothes that have been sitting there. You look at it and you're like, I haven't worn this shirt in over a year. Do I really have to keep it? No. No, I can get rid of it. Then you look at your closet, it's all organized. And you're like, oh, wow, that feels so good to have gotten rid of all this stuff. Lent is like a spring cleaning for the soul. It's an opportunity for you to shine the light into your inner life and inspect all that you've been carrying around with you for the past year, maybe even longer than a year. You inspect all of it. And you look at it and you ask yourself, is this helping me achieve the type of life that I desire? If it is, great, let's keep it. Oh, that shirt? Yeah, I wore it last week. Great, I'm gonna wear it again a couple weeks from now. Or is it actually taking you further and further away from the type of life that you desire? This shirt, I've had it for 2 years. I haven't worn it in those 2 years. Let's get rid of it. It still has the price tags on it from when I bought it at the mall 2 years ago. Nope, not serving me well. Let's jettison it. So is there anything in your life that is, and here's the question specifically for Lent, is there anything in your life that is preventing you from experiencing the joy of resurrection? Yeah, is there anything cluttering up your life? Is there anything filling up your life and you don't have any space left within you to receive? So Lent, 40 days of purging. And 40 is a very symbolic number in the Bible because 40, all throughout the Bible, from way, way back in the beginning with the story of Noah, 40 is a symbol of purging, of cleansing. How do we purge our soul? How do we cleanse our soul so that on Resurrection Sunday, on the morning that we all get up together to celebrate that the tomb is empty, our souls can have some space within them for us to receive the joy of resurrection in a fresh and new way. That, my friends, that's a powerful ritual. So here's what I want us to do this year for Lent, and I would love for us all to participate in this. I want us to each ask ourselves the question, what needs to die in my life so that I can experience resurrection? I want us to sit with that question. Sit with it for a couple of days, a couple of weeks. What do I need to let go of? What do I need to leave behind? What's been sitting in the back of the closet of my soul and it's not serving me well, or it's just been collecting dust? It's been weighing me down and I need to leave it. I need to purge it, cleanse it from my life. So however long this takes, and maybe immediately I ask this question, you're like, oh, that's what it is. Or maybe this is something that'll take you some time. That's all right. Whenever you have an answer to that question, what do I need to allow to die in my life so that I can experience resurrection? There's a link that's at the bottom of this video. And I would love for you to click that link, go to the page that it takes you to, and then write whatever it is that comes to mind. And then hit submit. This will be anonymous so that you don't have to worry about anyone knowing who it is that sent in that submission. And what I would love to see happen is that at our Good Friday service, which we will be having online this year, I'm just going to start reading through all the things that we as a community have said we're going to leave behind. It'll be like a confession. It'll be us acknowledging our limitedness, our weakness, us acknowledging that we need a strength beyond ourselves, us saying, I'm intentionally making space so that I can receive resurrection this year. And then what we'll do at our Good Friday service is we will leave all these things at the cross. We'll leave them at the foot of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. And then we'll leave it there Friday evening and we'll come back Sunday morning together. to celebrate resurrection, hopefully with more space in our soul, so that we can experience the joy of new life, so we can experience the power that Christ desires to give to each of us. So this season of Lent, what needs to die in your life so you can experience resurrection? This season, my friends, may you embrace the spirit of Lent. May you not run from it. May you not deny its uncomfortable truths, but may you embrace them. May you sit with them, reflect upon them. And as you do, may you find a freedom and a lightness. May the Spirit speak to you this season and bring to mind anything in your life that's been taking you off the path that you desire to walk, the path leading you to God. And may the Spirit bring those things to mind, and may you be given the power to leave them behind, to do away with them, to purge them from your soul. And as you do, may you experience a power and a joy. May you experience the resurrection this year in a fresh and new way in your life. Grace and peace to you this week, my friends.